This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. The Top 5 of 5 coming up at 5:30 because we are being joined now by ESPN's Buster Olney, who will celebrate opening day tomorrow by Dodgers-Tigers tomorrow night on ESPN. Thank you for joining us, Buster.
Good to talk with you. Yeah, the question going into the year, I think the dominant theme of the season is, can anybody beat the Dodgers?
Yeah, what do you think about that whole thing? Because from a, I mean, we've seen it historically in baseball, the big market teams spending more than other teams. But this seems like the most, at least as I can remember, the most extreme version of that. I guess just general thoughts on what you think of it and how you think it'll play out over the next few years.
So you're right. I mean, you think the Dodgers won the World Series last year, and then in the offseason they signed Blake Snell, two-time Cy Young Award winner. They signed the best available relief pitcher, Tanner Scott. They signed one of the best other relievers, Kirby Yates. They get Roky Sasaki, who's viewed as the most talented young pitcher in baseball. They signed Teoscar Hernandez to a long-term deal. They signed free agent Michael Conforto. I mean, it really was crazy. Now, it's not that much different than what the Yankees did in the late 90s.
Yep.
But it certainly has generated a lot of conversation within the sport. I have a friend who happened to be golfing with a major league player at the time that Sasaki picked the Dodgers. And this major league player who's not on the Dodgers, and his reaction to my friend was, "What's the point? The Dodgers are getting all the players." Now, you know and I know that baseball is a little bit different. You don't necessarily have to be the best team in the regular season to win the World Series. We saw that with the Braves when they won in 21. They saw it with the Phillies when they advanced all the way to the World Series against the Astros and had a chance to win then. You don't know. You still have to get through. But this is as big a prohibitive favorite as I've seen since I covered those late 90s Yankees teams.
Yeah, I think on some level, it's good for baseball to have a super team that everybody's gunning for. I think it happened when you look at the dynastic teams in football and basketball, even in the last 20 years with the Heat and the Warriors, having everybody sort of gun for them is fun. If they win every year, though, then it's not fun, right? Like, there has to be some sort of balance, I think, to keep everyone's interest in the game. But I think as a starting point, I think it is kind of neat and a talking point people maybe haven't had in baseball in a long time.
So the argument that you just made was the first time I ever heard that was actually from Billy Bean, longtime head of baseball operations of the A's. And this is you have a lot of A's fans complaining about those Yankees teams, and his response was, "What are you kidding? They're great for baseball. This year, the Dodgers will be the traveling circus
yep.
that everybody's going to want to see. They will blow away all other teams in terms of road attendance, in terms of attention. And my God, look at the response in Japan to their first two games of the regular season played over there against the Chicago Cubs. 25 million people were watching.
Yep.
I mean, it was a staggering number. So I agree with you that there is something to that, and I think you and I both also probably should say out loud, they're going to be used, whether it's right or wrong, as a reason for a salary cap by Major League Baseball when those CBA negotiations come up in 2 years. Whether or not that's actually the case, I'm dubious about it, but I know Major League Baseball will make the case that they don't want to have a team that outspends, other teams by factors of 7 and 8.
Yeah, I'm in favor of a salary cap.
Not that you're not. Yeah.
Just as a fan of the sport,
yeah.
I think it helps the competitive balance around the league. So I'm in favor of it.
So Buster Olney from ESPN with us. All right, Buster, so turn into the Phils. So, I looked at the ESPN power rankings today, and they had the Phils number 3. And, the most popular team as World Series pick is clearly the Dodgers, but the one with the second most votes was the Phillies. And it seems like from our perspective that the national view of the Phillies might be a little bit more optimistic than the local view. Can you give your perspective on the team this year and where you think they sit in the hierarchy of baseball teams?
So I think that we have to remember that for most of last season, we talked about the Phillies as if they were the best team in baseball. And that wasn't just, idiots like me in the media. That was the feeling of a lot of people around baseball. And so many of the elements of the Phillies team, which, was great in 2020, and probably, should have won the World Series that year, and the team that was dominant for a lot of last year, most of those elements are back. They're going to have an excellent rotation. You got Bryce Harper, you got Trey Turner, you got Kyle Schwarber, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't think it's necessarily a case where, the Phillies have gotten worse. I just think the Dodgers have just gotten better in terms of what they've added and the way that they played at the end of last season. I do think the Atlanta Braves are a team that people are sleeping on. The Phillies are in probably the toughest division in baseball in terms of having elite teams in that group between the Mets, the Braves, and the Phillies. I mean, and that's going to be a challenge for all three of those teams having to deal with each other. So I think the Phillies are an incredibly dangerous team when you can roll out, a Zach Wheeler in a game one, a rising star pitcher like Christopher Sanchez, later on Aaron Nola, et cetera. We'll just see as the season goes on how their bullpen shakes out.
Now, we all realize that the Dodgers are the best team, right? What's that distance between the Dodgers and the rest of the National League and the Phillies? Do you feel like the Phillies are bunched up with everybody else in the National League? There is no clear favor between those other teams behind the Dodgers.
I think they're, the Dodgers, number one in the power rankings, my own personal one, but the National League is absolutely stacked relative to the American League.
Yeah.
I've never seen a league like the American League is now where you can make a reasonable path for like 10 different teams to win the league championship. Because if you did a power ranking, the first American League team might not be till like number 5 or number 6.
Mm.
And that's, the Phillies' challenge is extraordinary because of the fact that the Braves potentially should be, could be so good. I saw Spencer Strider pitch last week. He looks like he's coming back. Ronald Acuna Jr. is coming back. They added Jerks and Profar. The Mets add Juan Soto, to what was already a really good lineup. So the Phillies are still a great team in my mind. They just have a tough challenge because they're in the National League.
The great Buster Olney on with us from ESPN. Buster, you've obviously covered Dan Dombrowski's like entire career. He's been a GM for like 35 years, it feels like. Are you a little surprised that we haven't had the traditional all-in Dave Dombrowski trade at one of these deadlines or in the offseason? Are you surprised that they kind of ran it back with the same team that ended last year?
I am, and I remember I wrote a piece in the fall, or I can't remember what form it took, but talked about how when I spoke with executives with other teams, they talked about their expectation that the Phillies were going to make a big strike. And at that time, that conversation was around Garrett Crochet, you know, who was the most coveted pitcher, you know, in the trade market, no question. And folks with other teams are reading the Phillies as being a team that, you know, they came close in 2023, they came close in 2024, they came close in 2022, and they thought that they would make a big, bold move that would put them over the top. And it didn't really happen. And that, I think, was a surprise. Now, you can make a case that, you know, some of the things they did, you know, adding Lizardo, you know, adding Kepler, that overall that they could turn out to be a better team over the course of the regular season. But there was no Garrett Crochet in what they did during the offseason. And that, you know, given Dave's history, that was a surprise for me. And I know a lot of his peers, too.
Yeah, the other, I guess, sort of debate point we've had leading up to the season is the is actually the lineup. And they've, you know, Rob Thompson hinted the other day that he will have two different starting lineups, one with Schwarber hitting leadoff, and then when they're facing, you know, righties, and then when they're not, Trey Turner will lead off. What do you think of the idea of just sort of shifting roles the way that does, especially when you're trying to get guys like Trey to maybe not chase so much and maybe not, you know, swing for home runs as much as he has in the past?
Yeah, it's an interesting, you know, quandary because we had the Phillies in an exhibition broadcast in the first week of March. So, you know, I asked Rob about that and what his thought process was. And I'm sure he probably mentioned to reporters in Phillies too. Kyle Schwarber loves being a leadoff hitter, right? I mean, he just absolutely loves that. But he also made it clear to him, look, I'll do whatever you want to do. And he's not the classic leadoff hitter because he's not especially fast. And he's not necessarily a threat to steal bases. And Trey Turner, the way he runs, he is the classic leadoff hitter. But he doesn't get on base as much as Kyle does. So I actually like the idea. I love, you know, and you know, knowing Trey's personality, knowing Kyle's, you know, great team-first personality, and Rob, the way he communicates with players, they're going to be all in on whatever he decides. So I think it'll be fine, and you can understand why he would want to try to maximize, you know, the talent of somebody like Trey with his ability to steal bases.
Yeah, I think from a Philadelphia fan perspective, I think a lot of us are at, let's see something different at least. Like, let's at least try. We understand what we have in Schwarber, but let's see if putting Trey up there ends up with a different Trey than we've seen over the last couple of years. Well, Buster, we appreciate your time today. Of course, you will be part of the broadcast tomorrow night on ESPN, Tigers versus the traveling circus, as you call them, the Los Angeles Dodgers. And let's hope somebody takes him down. That'll be fun. I mean, you don't have to hope for it. I hope for it. I think it'll be fun if somebody takes him down. All right, Buster. Thanks so much, man.
Appreciate it, Buster.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yes, yep. Sir. There he is, Buster only. I do think if they don't win, it will be fun. If the Dodgers don't win the World Series.
Oh, yeah. They're like you said, they're the evil team we're all chasing.
It's like the difference between, I know I bring everything back to basketball. The reason why I think the Heat were good is because the Heat didn't win the championship the first year. Mm-hmm. But the Warriors, when they added Durant, that was the not fair point.
Right.
That was when, we actually don't enjoy this.
Right.
But the Heat, I think people, you know, they lost twice in the finals. And I think that's what made that era kind of fun because they did succeed, but they also failed.
You mean to tell me they only won two titles with that stack roster?
It's unbelievable.
Oh,
my goodness. Yeah, with Spurs, come on.
Yeah.
Man, an old Tim Duncan?
Well, yeah, young Kawhi Leonard.
Well, I don't remember old Tim Duncan getting cramps during the finals.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not running as much.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's a fair point.
Today's show is powered by Verizon. For a limited time, get their best price ever. Drop into your local Verizon store today to learn more. Jack, we're supposed to do this last segment. I forgot to do it. Most important Philly for you this year outside of Bryce and Zach Wheeler.
Yeah, so I think the most popular pick is Trey, but besides also Trey, I don't want to take him either.
Okay.
I actually think it. Chris Sanchez?
Oh, wow.
Because,
why?
Listen, we know Wheeler, but this is the top three rotation like I think it can be. Nola, to me, not a real two. Chris Sanchez being a real...
The disrespect. You see how I went back to the disrespect that quick?
3.2 ERA, he was saying yesterday. Yep. Believe the Noles.
Didn't say that yesterday. Said that the first segment.
Okay.
Still, feels like yesterday.
It does feel like it. The 5 o'clock hour, whatever. I still am in on Nola, but I think Nola is like... You know what Nola is. Yeah. Sanchez could be a force multiplier. And like I think Lizardo, I believe in, but I think there's going to be some bumps in the road. Sanchez developing into like a real Cy Young-ish kind of guy could take the Phillies to kind of another level here. So I'll say Chris Sanchez.
Yeah, I'm going back and forth between Bomer and Stott. I don't know if Stott would bat high enough in the lineup to have the impact that he could, even if he gets back to being 2022. Bryson Stott, but or 23 Bryson Stott.
Yeah, 23.
Yeah, 23 Bryson Stott. I get these years mixed up. But I think Alec Bohm has a chance, if he can at least be a guy that he gets you 20 home runs. He drives in runs because we know he'll put the bat on the ball. So he led the team in RBI. Oh, he was leading the team in RBIs.
Yeah,
last
what did
year.
He end up with? 97?
97 for a second straight year.
Yeah. I think if he can get back to playing the way he was in the first half of the season, where I felt like he had a little bit of swagger to him, pre-dugout emotional breakdown, like before all that stuff happened. Yeah, I think him and Trey, I just think those two guys could make this lineup so much different than what it's been.
And the injury has to the injury has to be brought up with Bohm. Because like his power did get zapped after the wrist injury.
His power.
That's what I'm saying,
You see that on YouTube when I do the quote-unquote quotes thing.
When you roll your eyes at callers?
Yes. Well, I never do that.
Right.
At least I don't hang myself with the phone cord.
Again, allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. I am going Stott, and for this reason. I think Stott means a lot to the future, too. Like, if Stott is the 2023 Stott, I think you can think about the future of the Phillies infield in a different way than if he hits 245, he's a good fielding second baseman. A good fielding second baseman is great, but it's also not a super high leverage position defensively unless you're really, really good. Mm-hmm. He has that, but also if he's hitting 250, I don't think it matters that much. If he is hitting 290 or 300, then all of a sudden when we're looking out for the next 5 years and we think about Aiden Miller coming in, then you are thinking about a double play combo there that could be your next decade. And I think Bryce Stott means a lot for this year, but I also think he means a lot as you're looking forward, because you might, if Stott isn't that guy, you probably don't pay Bryson Stott. He probably isn't a Philly in the next 3 years or whatever. Yeah. But if he does come back and hits that, I think they can plan a little bit differently as well.
Yeah, it's big for Bohm and him. I mean, from the payday standpoint, Bohm is 2 years away.
Yeah.
Stott, I believe, is three.
Yep.
So I'm sure they would like extensions. You know? So it's big from that standpoint.
215-592-9494. Corey in Columbus, still on his Disney journey. You're on WIP. What's up, Corey?
Hanging in there, huh?
Hey, yo, I'm on the way. I'm on the way back, man. You know, we about to head to the airport. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm Disney out.
That's what I was going to say. You're still hanging in there. You say you Disney out, huh?
Yeah, man. I got a top five at five for, you know, things not to do at Disney, but you know that's for another day. You be seeing some wild stuff down here. You be looking sideways at people like, what?
Well, it is Florida.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I want to talk about the process.
All right. And what else? And veganism. And what else? What else? Yeah.
I'm just messing with you. Hey, man, they came at you hot. Chuck and Andy. Where Andy been? Hold up. Andy been missing for years.
Nah, he calls occasionally. He doesn't always get on.
Yeah,
he sits on hold for a while.
Out of nowhere, like, I got to get at Spike.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, he hates the show so much, he sits on hold for 2 hours, every other day. So we can tell how much he hates it.
That's crazy. But look, man, I'm with y'all, man. Bryson Stott, man. I'm telling you, Bryson Stott going to be an all-star this year. The year that Alec Bohm had last year, Bryson Stott going to have this year. But he going to continue. He ain't going to get benched. And he ain't gonna be crying. We don't do that. You know what I'm saying? Like that's my guy. You know, guys that's built from the same oak, like me, Jalen, Bryson Stott. You know what I mean? We don't do that. We ain't gonna be crying and all that. You know, we gonna show up every game. That's what we gonna do. So Bryson Stott MVP season. You know what I'm saying? Also, this is my thing with the Phillies this year. Like I believe in this team. You know what I'm saying? I like they didn't do a lot of big moves, you know. They did a lot of like complimentary okay moves, whatever. But it's like I need these dudes just to like show up in October. Like I don't care about the regular season. Like I want them to win games. Like, I don't want them to go no 5, 6, 7 game series or like, you know, not series, but like losing streak or whatever. Like I just like if they win 90 games, 91 games, sneak into the wild card. I ain't gonna say sneak in, but make the wild card and then get hot. Going into October, Red, I'm cool with that. Like, I don't need to win the division. I know that sounds crazy, but it's like
I'd say, Corey, they got it. Everybody is saying, I know they're going to make the playoffs. I know they're going to make the playoffs. Like, it's not. You know, just a
it's not
granted
a yeah,
that they
exactly.
make the playoffs. So I hear you. It only matters how they play in October, but this isn't a National League where they can just sort of coast through the year and
right.
make sure they're not making the playoffs winning 87 right. games this year, you know, like they did
right,
2 years
ago. The thing about the Mets is Juan Soto is going to be the biggest bust in MLB history coming up this year.
Fat Juan Soto? I love it.
He had the fat suit on because I don't know if you saw the way he looked lately. He don't look fat, so I don't know if it's the James Harden suit, you know, if they send it to him, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I don't know, but this dude don't look fat no more. I'm just saying, I just don't, like, the Mets, they beat us last year, but they're choke artists. They're not, this isn't like, they're the Washington Commanders, you know what I'm saying? They had a good season, but they're going to fall off this year, you know? But that's all. You know, real quick, y'all talked about the draft earlier today, like, The Giants picking Russell Wilson, I love that. Now they're going to have Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. Oh, and if they draft Shedeur Sanders, you talk about Cam Ward, I need them on Hard Knocks. That's what I need.
Let me tell you.
The Giants are never going back on Hard Knocks.
HBO won't even call them anymore about Hard Knocks after what happened.
Well, they need to put them on something. Because if you get a QB room where Russ, Jameis, and one of these rookies, especially Shedeur, if you put a personalities like that in the same room, oh, my goodness. I need to see it. You know what I'm saying? So, but I think the Giants is going to take Travis Hunter. But, you know, either way, you know, that's going to be, you know, they're going to be battling for the basement. You know,
kind of hope they do take Travis Hunter.
Really?
So I can watch him.
Oh, right.
Twice a year.
Yes.
because the Browns want Cam Ward, and if they can't get him, they already said they want to put Abdul Carter with Myles Garrett, you know. So we'll see.
Corey, you got a favorite sci-fi character for us?
I don't know if it's been said. I've been in and out all day, but I'm going to go with R2-D2. I'm down here in Disney.
There you go.
It's about time. Today should have just been your favorite Star Wars
character. Yes.
safe travels, Corey.
All right, brother. Safe travels.
Yeah. I mean, 85% of the answers have been Star Wars.
There's been way more Star Wars characters.
There's so many that need to be named, I think.
Yeah.
From other movies, I think. There's a lot of sci-fi out there.
Yeah, but nothing since what? I mean,
the whole aliens.
No, but the last 15 years? Like, what's the best sci-fi the last 15 years?
I'm saying there was an aliens movie came out last year.
I think you and Hugh were arguing about that, right?
Yes, we were arguing about Alien Covenant or Alien Romulus. I forget which one it was, but yes, Hugh and I were. He was a science fiction guy. He was a movie guy.
He is.
I feel like me and Hugh should go to the movies like all the time.
Dude, Justin needs to go like a video camera. Hugh and Spike go to the movies.
Go to the movies, yeah.
Well, Hugh's a movie guy. He lives alone.
Right. Yeah. What is my?
Yeah, I don't know why you are such a big movie guy.
Well, but my wife.
Well, I mean,
my wife likes movies too, so we watch them together.
And you guys like watching. You don't really like watching movies with Val.
Me? Yes, yeah. I do. Well, she won't shut up. But I like that. I'd rather watch movies than TV. I don't
That's
really
what
like
I was
TV.
About,
yes. Yeah. She doesn't show up. I forget what we watched the other night. It was this movie called The Wasp, I think. It was okay, whatever. And she said at the end, very proud of herself, I didn't talk very much during that movie. And I said, you sure did. And she said, no, I didn't. I said, you did. I said, I even considered turning on the audio recording on my phone and recording it and playing it back for you. Because
so she doesn't even know she's talking as much.
She is. It's like unconscious yapping during the entire movie.
That is one of your moves, though, to make people listen to themselves.
Yes.
You know, you used to do that with us.
I did do that.
Yes.
The worst.
Yes.
The worst possible thing.
Maybe I should be doing
that. That is one of the worst things to do.
Yeah.
To make somebody listen to themselves.
Andy Bloom used to do that with me.
Yes.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah. It does.
It does. It does, because you don't want to hear it.
Uh-uh. I remember Mark said, okay, get it. Turn it off. Turn it off. Turn it off. Well, the top five is actually coming up next.
Oh, wow.
Because we didn't do it at five. Thank you again to Buster Olney for coming on. Jack, what do we have to look forward to?
Speaking of Russell Wilson.
Yes, Mr. Unlimited.
Top five cringiest Russell Wilson moments.
Oh, ah, I like that.
There's actually enough for five.
I'm sure there is.
We could probably do a top 10. All right, that's next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.